Hello, welcome once again to the Candid Cast. We are continuing our Planning for Success series. And in this episode, we'll be discussing the planning process. Planning is not an act, it's a process. It takes time, there are steps to it. And that's what we want to look at today. Before we go into today's episode, please, if you are a returning subscriber, want to say thank you. Keep liking, click the like button at every episode, and remember to share it for your loved ones so that they also get the benefit and the blessing of the discussions we hold in this place. And if you are new, you are just joining us for the first time, don't forget to click the notification button. Thank you as you do this. We are now in episode 7. The planning process, or the process of planning. This is another insightful session in this planning series. Today, let's talk about the process of planning. The process of planning is very similar, notwithstanding the project type or the industry that is involved. Process is like principle. It's constant, it's unchanging, it's the same no matter what you want to do. And that's what I want you to look at. So planning requires a process for many reasons. Why do we need to follow processes in planning? It helps to define a clear objective. What do we want to achieve? That's the first thing. So before we draw any plan, we must have an end in mind. What do we want to achieve? So, number two, we get clear definition of steps to be taken towards the attainment of that predetermined goal. We need to know where we are, and we need to also know where we are going. Planning is the travel method, or the steps in between. Number three, what resources are available, or resources that are already at our disposal or can be obtained or be made available in the process? We need to know that one. Number four, how do we best allocate the available resources? You know, every year you see states and nations do budget, they present their budget for the year. It's about what resources will be made available this year. And how do we best allocate these resources? Number five, what obstacles are anticipated in the execution process? We don't expect that we want to do a project or execute a plan and we will not find obstacles. It's always good to know that there will be obstacles and to prepare for them so that they don't take us by surprise. And number six, how do we intend to overcome the obstacles and see have a successful outcome? We look at the benefits of this approach. There are many benefits to following processes in planning. First, so the benefits of this approach are many. Let's look at the first one. Number one, challenges do not take us by surprise. So when we follow the process like has been outlined, challenges will come, like it will come. It's normal for everybody. But where they are anticipated, what you anticipate is easier to conquer than what comes to you as a surprise. When Jesus was teaching about this, he said, what king, when he set out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he's strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him, or with 20,000. You need to sit down, examine your challenges. What am I facing? What am I up against? Number two, goals are broken down to manageable and measurable steps. You know, when you have a plan to execute, you have a goal, you have set out what you want to achieve. If you follow the planning process, there is no goal you set out to achieve that is just achieved in one breath. there is breaking down of goals, milestones, how to go about it. Number three, actionable strategies are outlined before commencement of the project. As in, when Jesus was going to feed 5,000 men at a time, he ordered them to sit down on the ground before there was any serving of bread to anybody. This strategy has the effect of ensuring there is no stampede, and if it's adopted even today, you will find that you can attend to a crowd without getting stampede or getting anybody to lose his or her life in the process, which was not the original intention. With this process, outcomes are visualized. It's easier to drive or foster collaboration of people because people are readily persuaded and they will agree to go with you if they know where you are leading them. And when you have followers, it is the strength of a king is in the number of followers. So when you have people that are following, this will eventually lead to successful completion of project or program and the initiative. So let's look at steps to creating a successful plan. What steps do we take? All these are still in the process of planning. To create an effective plan, number one, start by conducting thorough research and assessment. This involves information gathering of data. Because if you are not informed, you make uninformed decisions and it leads often to regret. Number two, analyze current conditions and identify both opportunities and constraints that will come in the process. Number three, you move on from there to understanding the context and the environment in which the plan will be implemented. This is crucial for making informed decision. We'll talk about all this in details as we move on. Number four, we move on from there to vision creation. When you have gotten your data, you have analyzed it, then you are now in a position to create vision. You have known what is ahead of you. Define the desired future state. That's the result. When you are seeing results clearly in the eyes of your mind, energy will well up from within. So you define the future state and articulate clear, inspiring goals that align with comprehensive, all-embracing objectives. This vision will serve as a guiding star for the planning process and help maintain focus and motivation, both for you as a planner and for your team members. Number five, engage in detailed action planning. Break down the vision into manageable tasks and milestones. Assign responsibilities. Know who can handle what in your team. Don't put the square peg in a round hole, and vice versa, as always said. And set timelines where there are no deadlines. It was Walt Disney that said, everyone needs a deadline. Without deadline, you have not planned anything. So it's all wishes until we set deadline. Ensure that each action, the action item, is specific, is measurable, is achievable, is relevant, and is time bound. SMART. We have discussed SMART goals, the need for every goal to be SMART in previous episode. Let's take these high points in details now. We talk of research and assessment. I've mentioned research and assessment. So am I a professor? What am I researching? Yes, for every plan, you need to do data gathering. So this will form the foundation of any successful planning process. The initial stage involves gathering relevant data. Analyze them. It's not a technical something that is not rocket science. It does not require so much of skill for you to know. If you are able to define what you want, you'll be able to gather data on how to get there. So check current conditions. in your environment. Identify both opportunities and the constraints around you. They vary from one environment to the other. By conducting thorough research, planners can gain comprehensive understanding of the context and the environment in which the plan will be implemented. This is to ensure that every subsequent decision is well informed. If you plan, I try to do a project, I read books, studied how it is done. Oh, in America, somebody did it and he achieved it. I look at the way they did it in America. You can start 5-10 branches of a business in a year, and each branch has between 15 and 25 years to repay its debt. You try it in Nigeria, it will not work in your environment because we don't have long-term funding. So if you go start 8 branches of your business at a time and the banks want all their money within 3 years, that business will crumble. So get enough data. Those are the essentials of getting data for what you want to do. So during this phase, that is still talking about information gathering, it's essential to assess the strength, the weakness, the opportunities, and the threats. That's the SWOT analysis. They all come under the information gathering data analysis to help you assess your project and know exactly where you are going. You have a clear picture of the both the internal and external factors that must be considered in making success of your project. By establishing a solid evidence base, planners can create a robust foundation for the vision creation and action planning stages, ensuring that the plan is realistic, relevant, and achievable. So, having gathered data, having done the research, you move on to vision creation. Now that you know what you have, what can be made available, who is in your team, who will go with you, like Moses was discussing with God. He said, you have told me I will go, I will take the Israelites from this place, but you have not told me who will go with me. You have known who and who should belong to your team and who should not belong. Then you can go ahead and create the vision. Vision creation is the cornerstone of the planning process. It involves defining the desired future state, articulating clear, inspiring goals that align with comprehensive, all-embracing objectives. A compelling vision acts as a guiding star. Nobody can ignore it. It provides direction and purpose throughout the planning journey, even the execution process. You know where you are going. Everybody in the team is sure. So to create an effective vision, start by engaging stakeholders to gather diverse perspectives. Let people buy in. What they buy into, they will join you to pursue to the end. If they don't have buy-in, there are people who must make sure it is cottoned. And you find it around us every time. So when they buy in, you will get stakeholders. You've gotten all the perspective, their insights. Everybody is part of the project. So this collaborative approach ensures that vision resonates with everyone in the team, everyone that is involved. It will foster a sense of ownership. They will all own the project together. It will bring their commitment. Even when it looks like the discouragements are many, they will all come together to encourage the team leader and say it is doable. So it will encourage open discussions, brainstorming sessions, workshops to explore different possibilities and scenarios. How do you overcome the challenges? You will get all the ideas from different members of the team. There is no leader that knows it all. So once the vision is articulated, it should be concise. Made a brief of it can be prepared. It should be clear to everyone. And it should be motivational. The Bible talks about writing. It says, write the vision. Make it plain upon tablets that he will run that reads it. So everyone that read it will come to an understanding. It's clear enough for everybody that sees it to run with the vision and say, this is achievable. Use vivid, clear language and imagery to encapsulate the essence of the desired outcome. So the vision should be aspirational yet achievable, balancing ambition with practicality. The fact that we're ambitious does not mean we should live as if we don't belong to this world. No, you are still operating within an environment, and you must ensure that you are within that environment. Incorporate feedbacks and refine the vision to ensure it is comprehensive and inclusive. Align the vision with the organization's values, mission, and long-term goals to create synergy and cohesion. A well-crafted vision not only provides a roadmap for the planning process, but also serves as a powerful tool for communication and engagement of stakeholders. It inspires and mobilizes teams, driving them towards the common goal and fostering a culture of innovation and collaboration. You get everybody in. So once we are all inside it, the next thing to talk about is the action planning. Now that we are all in, we have gathered data, we know what we want, we have gotten stakeholders to buy in, everybody was part of the planning process, then you now talk about action planning. How do we execute? The execution stage. Effective action planning transforms the vision into tangible steps and initiatives. Like I've mentioned, it's not a whole. It must be broken in pieces for us to achieve our goal. This phase involves outlining specific actions for the group, for the individuals. Then you assign responsibilities. Who does what? Who is capable of what? Everyone has his own strength. Everyone has his own weakness. So proper allocation of resources, proper allocation of assignment in the action stage, and establishing timelines to achieve the envisioned goal is very important at this stage. Begin by breaking down the vision into actionable objectives. This should be SMART. We have said this again and again. So we must ensure at each point in time that the goals are clear, they are specific, they are measurable, and all that. So it brings clarity to ensure everyone is focused on the same thing. We are not working at cross purposes. Each objective should have a set of tasks or activities associated with it, detailing what needs to be done, who needs to do it, and when that action needs to be taken. If you don't set time to it, you have not set any goal. That's why you find that literally every country that has made progress in the world has respect for time. One of the saddest things that I hear in our environment is that we are using African time. Time is time. There is nothing peculiar about Africa in terms of timing. If we identify failure to keep time as our undoing, the earlier we learn to move out of that space, the better it is for each and every one of us. Then we engage stakeholders and team members in the action planning process to leverage their expertise and foster collaboration. By involving those who will be responsible for executing the plan, you ensure their commitment and accountability. There are people you cut off from your planning process that during execution, they will just look at you like somebody was, there was a popular politician that said he was doing sit down look. There are people who will sit down look and watch you fail. Even if the failure will affect everybody, including himself, he wants to pride himself in, I told you, or I was not called, they didn't feel that I am important enough to know. So that's the essence of getting everybody on board. Establish key performance indicators, KPIs, to measure progress and adjust the plan as needed. Schedule regular check-ins and progress review to address any challenge and learn to celebrate milestones. This is very important. It encourages and motivates every member of the team. So by meticulously planning each step and maintaining flexibility to adapt, you can turn the vision into reality and navigate the complexities of the planning process with confidence. This is doable. So I believe we have touched on the planning process and the steps that we need to take in it, and that we want to draw the curtain on this episode at this point today and say thank you for staying tuned. God bless you.